Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can still open it freely and learn and grow from it. We pray as we do that now that you humble us to listen, you open our hearts and our minds and allow us to learn and grow so we can go out and serve you the best way we can. Amen. Now, I didn't learn a heap at school, but when I was in primary school, I did learn one poem. Well, one poem that I remember and I've loved all this time. It's from a lady named Dorothea McKellar. It's almost 100 years old, and I'll read you one stanza from it. It goes, "I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of rugged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizon, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, a wide brown land for me." A few of you know it. I think it was on a commercial not that long ago. Does anyone know what land she's talking about? Australia. Good job. Australia is quite a unique place. We've got Uluru, a big rock in the middle of nowhere. We've got the Great Australian Bight, the Great Barrier Reef, the Great Dividing Range, which from a distance is blue and not green, which I think is awesome. And then it's not just the land, but the people of Australia. You know, we're quite a special breed as well. We're a people that like to do things the hard way. We're the underdogs that never give up. We never seem to die. We count our losses as wins. Our country is united by sport. And as a sign of respect, we call our best friends names that other countries hold for their worst enemies. And we stick it to the man. See, I love being Australian. I reckon I'm pretty good at it. And people around the world, they look at Australia and say, that's a place where I want to be. That's a place where I want to stay. But when people arrive here, they need to conform to some of the things that we do if they're able to live, at least to some degree, whether it be a complete life transformation or something smaller like driving on the left side of the road or getting ripped off by the petrol prices. Now, this doesn't just happen in Australia. It happens everywhere we go. And it happens across time as well. Peter, he understands that to live somewhere, you needed to conform to at least some of the locals' ways. The Roman Empire, they had a way of doing life. They called it a household code. And Peter here, he tells the people in Asia Minor that they, yes, they are God's elect. They are a royal priesthood. They do belong to God, and yet they are not to detach from society, but to live within it. And that means following this household code. And following this code meant following a chain of command, a simple chain of command: submit to the person above you, and the person below you submits to you. Now, in our passage today, Peter takes the people of Asia Minor through three different areas that affect them greatly. Three ways of doing things that Peter, he doesn't necessarily say that the best ways of doing things, but that's how society does them. And so this is how they have to do them too. But we're going to look at each three of these areas in turn. And I'm sure as we do go through them, we'll see that as we do things today, it's not all that different. And where it is, the basic concepts apply. The first one there is in 13. And it's really quite general. It goes to all Christians. It says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as a supreme ruler or the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong or to commend those who do right." Now, we don't have an emperor, but we still do have a queen. And we do have governors, be that the government or the police force. And so we are to submit to them. And truthfully, it's not really that hard, is it? Some of the time, at least. Because they say, don't murder. I'm quite happy to follow that rule. And they say, don't do drugs. I'm also quite happy to follow that one. It's when it gets down to the little things, that's when it gets a bit harder. You know, they say, don't go over the speed limit. Now, if I look down and I'm going, you know, 5Ks over, I don't really care. And if they say, don't jaywalk, I jaywalk across the road every day. I have to get to the coffee shop. See, we need to think about everything that we do, not just the big things, because anyone could do the big things. We need to think about the little things. See, we don't need to be mediocre citizens. We need to be great ones. Submitting to authority means submitting to all of their rules, or most of their rules at least. Now, I say most of their rules because there is one reason for not submitting to their rules, and that is when the governing authority, what they say and what God says, clashes. And it is only then that you disobey what they say because you submit to God first. Peter then goes on in verse 15 to helpfully give a few more reasons why you should submit. Have a look there at verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good you shall silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. I find this little part quite interesting. What is the ignorant talk of foolish people? And how are we supposed to be free people and slaves of God? They don't seem to get along. Now, the answer to these questions are closely linked. See, foolish people are those who do not know that Jesus is the way to their salvation. And their ignorant talk is denying that fact and talking about another way to righteousness. And now we are free from this foolishness because we understand that Jesus is the way to righteousness. And we speak of no other way. And we are slaves to God because he has saved us from eternal damnation. Because we are free from this eternal damnation, because we know if we do wrong, we will be forgiven. That doesn't mean we have a free pass to do whatever we want. It's not a reason to be a mediocre citizen. It is because we are not this foolish people, but we are saved by Jesus on the cross, that we need to attempt to be great citizens. By submitting fully to human authority, people are going to notice. People are going to notice if you're an extra 5 minutes late because you kept to the speed limit. They're going to notice if you walk up to the set of lights or the crossing instead of jaywalking wherever you want. And so I ask you, what will push people away from ignorance and foolishness and towards the truth in the freedom of God? Doing what the government says, or just doing whatever the heck you want? Peter then continues to move through to his next group of people. And as he's instructing the Christians in Asia Minor on how to live God's way within society, he narrows down the pool of people that he speaks to. Peter moves to talking to slaves, submitting to their masters. And now Peter doesn't say anything about masters being nice to their slaves or how masters are to treat their slaves, because in Asia Minor, Christians were down on the social ladder. They didn't have slaves, so this was not a problem for them. Now, when we think of slaves, we usually automatically think of those slaves from America. They got beaten day and night. And while there was an element of that, there were also slaves who chose to be into slavery because they were living on the streets. They had no food, no security. And being a slave meant they had a house, they had food, and they had security. And some of these servant slaves even received an education. Being a slave, a lot of the time, was just like having a job today. Now, submitting looks a little different than to the ones of human authority. Slaves must submit themselves in fear of their masters, but fear of God. Fear of God. What is fear of God? Well, fear of God, it's more like respecting fear instead of trembling fear. Now, my dad, he doesn't like when you put your hands on the walls. It's a bit funny about it because it leaves handprints. And so if you run up and down his hallway with your hands on your wall, he'll yell at you. I know this because I grew up in that house and I did it all the time. So if you didn't want to get yelled at, you didn't put your hands on the walls. But if I was doing something for him, say I was putting a PowerPoint in or putting a shelf up, and I accidentally touched the wall while I was trying not to, he wouldn't be happy, but he wouldn't yell because he knows that I was trying not to, but I slipped up. And because I'm a greasy ethnic, I leave handprints on everything. Now, he would simply wipe the wall because apparently I don't know how to do it properly. And he would tell me to be careful next time. Now, you see, I don't run up and down the hallway with my hands on the walls because I am fearful of getting yelled at. And I do know that my dad will forgive me if I make a mistake. He'll fix it for me when I'm obviously doing my best not to touch the walls, knowing that he doesn't like it, and that he has the authority to yell. See, that is the fear that we are to have for God, one out of respect, knowing that punishment for sin is the wrath of God, but understanding that if we do our best not to sin, even though we will eventually fail, and if we trust in the death of Jesus and his resurrection, God will hold back his wrath and he will forgive us. See, that is reverent fear. That is how slaves are to submit to their masters, in that sort of fear of God. Now, submitting to the government and the police force was a bit hard. Submitting to our bosses, maybe even harder. How often do we think that we know better than them? How often do we think our way of doing something is better than their way? How often have we done the old smile and nod and then go do what we want? I don't do that anymore. So Peter says that submitting to people in power over us, it's commendable to God. It makes God proud, even more so if we're suffering because of it. Now, don't hear me wrong, because we don't have to put up with bullying or racism or sexism or ageism or anything else like that, because there are things in place to protect us. But if our boss comes to us and tells us to do some more work, even though Barry is sitting over there doing nothing and has done half the amount, you know, just do it. Or if you don't get praised for doing something which you think that you've done really well, just get over it. We're not here to get praised by men. We're here to give glory to God. And if you stuff up, make a mistake and get into trouble for it, Peter says that it's your own fault. And that isn't commendable to God. But if you cop a bit of slack, especially for being a Christian, don't bite back. Just take it on the chin, because that is Jesus' example to us. That is what he has done for us. Now, I think Peter says it better than I ever could. He says it there in verse 22. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. So we are to submit to our bosses and those above us at work. And we do this for God's sake. And it will have the effect of attracting people to our faith in Jesus, with the possibility of them being saved. Peter continues on even further, starting at chapter 3. And as we go through this section of Peter's letter about conforming to society's ways, he again narrows the pool of people he's talking to. Peter moves to speaking to wives, submitting to their husbands. More specifically, he's speaking to wives whose husbands are not Christians. Now, even though Peter doesn't condemn, he doesn't condemn this way, or he doesn't say it's the right way, wives submitting to their husbands. I want to take a look at this for a brief moment. Does society still think that wives should be submitting to their husbands? Is this biblical? And how should it work in a perfect world? Well, does society still think that wives should submit to their husbands? I'm going to say yes. Now, don't get me wrong, women need their rights and they should be paid the same as men, but inside the marriage, the man is still the head of the house. And is it biblical? Again, yes, it is. Ephesians 5:22 and 5:24 both instruct wives to submit to their husbands. So how does this work in a perfect world? Wives are to submit to their husbands, and husbands are to honor their wives. Submission and honor usually go hand in hand. One person does both to another. Submitting is putting someone, is putting yourself underneath somebody else, doing what they decide is best, even if you think you know better. While to show honor is to lift somebody up, think of them first, do what is right for them, forgetting about yourself. Wives, they are to put themselves under their husbands, while husbands are to lift their wives back up. So now we've had a look at that. Let's go back to the text and look at what Peter is instructing wives, paying close attention to those with non-Christian husbands. Wives are to submit in the same way of slaves, meaning in reverent fear because it is commendable in God's sight. And wives with non-Christian husbands, they've got an extra reason to do this, to show God's glory to their husband. You see, you may not be the greatest evangelists, and your husband may have told you to stop talking to him about Jesus. And so Peter says, be the silent evangelist. Submit in such a way that, how does Peter say it? That you, that they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Peter then continues on to mention clothing. He doesn't say that you don't have to have nice clothes, you can't have nice clothes or look beautiful, although it probably would have been helpful if he said to buy them from Target and not Maya. He's simply saying that you need to be more attractive because of your personality than your choice of outfit. And if you need to look to someone for an example, he says, look to Sarah. I'm not sure if you've read Genesis and Sarah's story lately, but Sarah is sassy. She's a strong, independent woman who submits to her husband, Abraham, even when he makes some silly decisions. See, the Roman Empire says, wives, submit to your husbands. And so Peter says, wives, in Asia Minor, you too are to submit to your husbands so that you can live within society and glorify God. And in today's society, wives are still to submit to their husbands. And so Peter says to you, to live within society and to glorify God, submit to your husbands. And finally, in verse 7, Peter turns to husbands. And now, wives, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, so I'll let you in on a secret, but sometimes husbands have got it a bit easier. And this happens even in the Roman Empire. Now, husbands, they didn't have non-Christian wives because wives automatically adopted their husband's religion. And so Christianity would have been preached to them week in and week out. Peter does tell husbands to be considerate. Men, get your pens out. I'll spell this one out for you. Considerate. C-O-N-S-I-D-E-R-A-T-E. We got it? In other words, think about their feelings. Treat them with respect. Look after them. Society says that that is what a good husband is to do. And so to live within society and glorify God, be a great husband. Peter sends a message to the Christians in Asia Minor, one that rings true to us today. We live within society in much the same way society lives. I mean, submitting to the government, submitting to our bosses, wives submitting to your husbands, and husbands honoring your wives. We are to do all this in a way that brings glory to God and people to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to live within society and follow society's rules. Help us to submit to those that we have to. Help us to do that in a way that brings glory to you and people to Christ. Amen.